Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello.
Hello. I don't know, I feel that I'm being slightly nervous or apprehensive or something. I'm being all coy. Hello. Welcome to We Can't Worry.
Hello,
I'm Yasmin Akram. Sorry, I just I talked right across you there.
That's
as you were,
fine.
You were doing a lovely low, silky intro.
Yeah. Hello. That's all I have. I'm sorry.
No, it's beautiful.
I'm sorry.
My name is Yasmin Akram. This lovely, silky-voiced friend of mine is called...
Philippa Dunn.
Esquire. This is a comedy podcast. We said it before, we'll say it again, where we talk about our worries, our anxieties, and just, you know, we're having a laugh about them. We're saying it's, hey, listen, we all have them. It's cool. It's cool, baby.
Yeah.
Everything's cool.
Let's take the heat out of them by enjoying them instead of fearing them. Just for now.
Because I don't know about you, but I think that I am a mixture of extremely huge ego and then, like, no self-esteem whatsoever.
Oh, yes. I relate to the... I'm just... I wanted to...
It was a little scream.
Because what I wanted to say was, me too! But my internal voice just said, shut up, you don't have an ego, you fucking idiot. You wish you had an ego, you fucking idiot. But it's all low self-esteem with you, you fucking idiot.
It's a trainload of low self-esteem and the captain doesn't even have any kind of confidence in where the train is going.
Oh, he doesn't even have a map. He's just going out there hoping for the best.
Well, there's a saying, I think it might be from a 12-step program, but I could be wrong, so don't quote me on it, where they say you feel like you're the biggest piece of shit at the centre of the world. And I think that's...
Yes.
I do feel like that sometimes. I'm so self-involved. But I went upstairs there to have a wee, because we're doing this from our home. And I looked in the mirror and do you know what I said to myself? I look fucking great. I said, I look fucking great. Right?
Great.
I have no rights to be saying that, Phil. I don't even know what my hair is doing.
Shut up.
Came down, sat down, looked at myself in the webcam, think I look like somebody's nana.
Well, I just want to join forces with the I think you look great side of things.
Stop it. Stop it.
Because I think you do.
Look.
It's not flirting, it's facts, right? And I'm giving them to you now, raw, unedited.
Raw facts.
You look great. You should tell yourself that as well. There's no shame.
I've gone all coy again, like I was at the top of the show. No. Only a mere 3 minutes before.
Stop it. Who, me?
It's just, I am on a mission. This, in our year of the Lord 2021, my mish this year, Phil, is to have like a fully rounded self-love that isn't based on listing off my attributes. Do you know what I mean? It's about going, I am sometimes, as I say, very self-involved, but I still, those parts of me still deserve to be loved. The parts of me that aren't so, you know, the negative emotions. Because I don't know about you, but I've always felt that when I feel a negative emotion, like anger or whatever, that I will think, oh, it's like a sign that I'm failing at life. because in my mind, the idea of somebody who's happy and successful is that, well, that they're happy all the time. So when I feel angry or sad, I go, oh, I'm obviously not successful, or I'm obviously not really boss in life because I feel angry or sad.
No.
And I just realized that's just fucking horseshit, isn't it?
You're completely allowed to feel angry. You're completely allowed to feel sad. It's very important that you feel angry, actually.
Yes.
Because it keeps you motivated. It keeps you hungry. And it makes you strive for what is correct for you.
That's so true. And
you see, anger, especially when it's attributed to women, it's always seen as a negative. I think anger is marvellous. I think anger is marvellous.
So do you know what I've been saying to myself as well, Phil? I've been saying, I am trying to be a successful human being, not a happy person. A successful human being. And a human being feels all of their emotions.
Absolutely.
That's the reason that you're a human being.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Now, when I say anger is marvellous, obviously I mean it when it's like handled correctly and channeled
not when you're
in the right way.
A wall. Yeah.
Oh, God. No, that's not good for anyone. But, you know, what I mean is that, like, don't feel ashamed of being angry. It's very important that you understand why you're feeling angry and work it through
like a conditioner.
And just don't squash it down.
No,
you know, acknowledge it.
Let it
be. I wish I had more to say that was helpful, but
oh, listen, no, you've given me the two. Thumbs up. See that it's so Irish the way I said thumbs up. Two thumbs up that it's that my feelings are not something that I need to push down or be frightened of.
No.
I think I said be frightened of. Be frightened of. Don't
and
be frightened of.
Don't be frightened of it. it's like when we were kids and we used to say I'm scared.
I'm a scared.
Afraid and scared shoved together. When you're saying it too quickly, do you know? You don't know which one to choose. Afraid or scared. I'm a scared. Oh, yes, likewise. Do you know when, like, people might get angry?
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, your friends.
Yeah.
Like, people that you're close with and that you kind of really care about.
Mm.
And they get really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a great thing you can do as a friend or a family member or a sibling or a spouse or whatever is don't run away from their anger.
Yeah.
You know, as in, like, you know, like, anger can like clear a room and people are like, oh, I'm not dealing with that.
I think you're thinking of a fart, but go on.
But maybe what the best thing you could do there is discuss their anger with them in that.
Yeah.
I have a friend who she put it really well, and she said, if your best friend was crying, you'd say, sit there and get it out of you, you know, tell me what's wrong. You know, don't keep it in. Tell me. But if it's, you know, and you'd sit there and you'd watch them cry and you'd comfort them and, you know, you'd encourage them to speak on it, whatever. But if it's anger, some people, like, they back away and they go, oh, God, oh, goodbye.
Yes. Yeah.
But like, it, you know, it should be the same. It's like, come on, get it out. Tell me what it is.
Yes.
You know,
holding space
out than
for
in.
Somebody else's anger. Like letting, because I think it's, and we spoke about this last ep, but I think it's that it's the removal of the need to name it and be shamed of it. Just to say, this is what it is and it's fine and I'm going to, you know, just be angry.
Yeah.
But listen, you know.
As long as it's dealt with, you know, safely and maturely and all the rest, you know.
Compassion. See, this is the thing. I mean, now I'm just going to go into my worry of the week and it's going to make me look incredibly childish. But I was just going, it's just about being grown up. Just about choosing an adult reaction to world situations.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wish I could do it, Phil, all the time, but I can't.
I'm burping
as well. Now, I don't know if anyone's going to pick it up, but if you do hear like a soft into the mic, that will be me.
that will be me
and I'll own it now. So I'm just going to plow into my worry of the week, Phil. I hope you don't mind.
Please do take the
floor. Wait, you hear this shit. Wait, you hear this barrel of shit. So I was going to say babysitting. It's not the correct word. I was hamster sitting recently for some friends. Their son, who is 8, has a hamster who he loves, right? And this child is the light of my fucking life, right? I just love this kid. And I watched the hamster before when they were going away. I watched them this time, and I thought to myself, the hamster's a year older. Now I was scared the last time because I was scared he was going to die, because I don't know what the shelf life of hamsters are, but I don't imagine it's a huge amount of time. So this hamster was about 6 months when I first looked after him. Now he's a year and 6 months. I've got him back. I was so fucking worried this hamster was going to die, because I just thought to myself, if this hamster dies, I am going to break this. This child is always going to connect those two dots. My first pet killed by this woman. And, you know, I'm kind of like, I'd like to think of myself as his aunt, but I would then just become this woman because he would lose all love for me completely.
Do you remember that time Yaz minded my hamster?
Yeah.
And she killed him. It would always be that.
I didn't keep that completely, you know, secret from his parents, because I was going, what if I kill that fucking hamster? What am I going to do if I kill the hamster? What if something happens to him? And they thought it was hilarious. But I was like, it was an actual real concern of mine, because if, like, Philip, I was up in the middle of the night sometimes checking this thing out and just seeing if it was up and if he was running around, because they're nocturnal. So once I could just see he was running around and he was safe, I bought him his own... heating pad. So I could hang it behind the wall, because it was, if it was cold, I'd put the heating pad on just so he got a little bit of warmth off that back wall.
Well, now talk about a 5-star experience.
I was treating him like he was a king.
And I think you were treating him better than you were treating yourself.
Oh my god. I wasn't sleeping. I was up in the middle of the night looking at hamsters. I would move around. I made sure he had fresh water every day. I got him like some very nice leaves in the greengrocers. He was living his best life. But I could not believe how I lost the run of myself. I was counting down the days, because I was just going. And at one point they came back, and they came back quite late, and they couldn't come over and get him. And I was going, can you just come over and get him? I was like, you need to come over and get him, because if anything happens, oh my God. Like I got to the end of this was the stretch of time. I've gotten to the end of it. Now he can't stay here another night, because now I'm living on borrowed time.
Yeah.
He's living on borrowed time, so am I.
My nerves can't do another night, lads.
I couldn't cope with the idea of him disappointed in me.
Mm.
And I know that that's not the right attitude to have when you have a child in your life. You're meant to be loving, but you know, you're not meant to be scared of real life issues. Like if I would have been able to hopefully explain that to him in a way that let him know it wasn't my fault. But I was going, I will give that thing the kiss of life if it comes to it. If I find that hamster cold, I will bring it back to life.
Pump his chest. Not on my watch. That's the thing. You just don't now. Oh, I just had a lot of thoughts there. But
I mean, it's hamsters do that anyway, but this is like it's a very serious situation, and I'm aware of it.
Well, I remember the whole tagline about hamsters and gerbils, because they were the affordable pet when we were younger. Like they were the kind of the safer option, as in they didn't take as much care or maintenance as a dog or things like that. You know, they were like a kind of a low maintenance pet. But the feedback was always that they could just die just like that.
I think that apparently, you know, you read these horror stories online that they could drop dead because the Hoover was too loud.
Really?
I mean, I don't know if I've just made that up, but I know that maybe budgie. Maybe I'm thinking of a budgie. I don't know. There's some animal that can get a fright from a Hoover and it'll just keel over.
Oh God, that's very unfortunate.
And it was doing weird things, like it was building, like it was taking all the bedding and putting it all around its little house.
Aww.
And so it just became like this mountain of bedding around the house. And I
and you couldn't check on him that way, because you'd have to burrow through that yourself to see that he was breathing in the night.
Exactly. I'd have to put the eye right down in, like trying to look around. And he was very cute. Like when he came out, you'd see the little face. But I was going, I'm not going to put my hand, like I'm not going to hold him, because if he bites me, what if I do, like I shake my hand and then I give him some kind of like a brain aneurysm or something because I flicked him. You know.
They're awful cute. The little hands.
And they also look just like a complete round ball of fluff with big eyes.
Oh God.
I mean, I did have my heart broken.
Yeah, with the stress and the anxiety.
Yeah, but also the little cute face as well. I was falling for him by the time he was gone.
It is terrible. Like, that you can't, you just can't imagine anything bad happening to something that is that gorgeous.
I know, it's that. And also then the other little gorgeous thing coming in and going, what happened to my hamster?
Yeah.
And you're just going, now, I can't.
Can you imagine?
Deal with that.
If you can go there, can you imagine, say, heavens forbid, the little hamster died on your watch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, realistically, that you would be able to cope with that scenario?
I think what I would do, Philippa, if I'm being really honest, is think of an elaborate lie that did no one any favours. It would be like, a man broke in and stabbed him. And I was so frightened I had to lock myself in the bathroom, and that's what happened.
Because did you call the cops? Yes. No, I didn't feel the need.
I was too shaken up by the experience. I would use, like, you know, something I've seen on, like, a Netflix serial killer, like, story and apply it to the hamster and then kind of just go, I had to stand by and watch the whole thing because to say to him...
Like something from Law and Order or something.
Yeah. And then at least that way I'd be able to kind of say that I had been traumatized or something had happened to me, that I was being brave. Or maybe it would be like he tried to do something and I tried to save him and that's how he died.
Oh, you were being noble. And
I was being noble, yeah. But it would get out of hand because I remember when this kid was about three, it's my insecurity and self-absorption right here. This kid was mad for me, right? He loved me, some would say too well. It was just an overflow of love from a blonde-haired little angel. And so there was one time when he was about three where he stopped being like, every time I walked in the door, he'd be cheering and jumping all over me. And he just got very quiet with me. Philippa, the amount of fucking toys I bought. I bought toys for days. I came around there and it was only for a week where he just kind of got a little bit strange with me. I went around with every single of his favourite cartoon characters. I bought them all. And I think he could sense that it wasn't a genuine buy. And I was looking for affection because he didn't respond very well to it. I remember thinking, well, if you don't like this, what else can I get you? Because I will bring a pony in that bloody door. You watch me. I will bring a pony in that bloody door.
He had you sussed.
He had me sussed. And he didn't like it. And that's the thing.
Yeah, he might have been like, yes, look, I'm just having I'm having an off fortnight. Would you just let me have it?
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm three. I'm going through some stuff. No, I couldn't because I wasn't, again, this is, it all comes back to the same thing, Phil, maturity levels. I'm the adult. He should be allowed to have his emotions and his reactions to anybody in his life. But no, I couldn't handle it.
But he got some class gear out of it, I'd say.
Oh my God, yeah. And listen, he knows I'm a soft touch. Every Christmas, every birthday, I'm there. Oh, you like this? Here's 12 of them.
Yeah. Here's the whole full range.
Here's the whole thing. As long as you're happy, my little prince. That's kind of the vibe that happens.
It was just the reason I asked that about, you know, just that momentary kind of exercise in imagination there. Had the hamster passed away in your presence. I was just going to come in with that old adage of, I bet you would have coped better than you give yourself credit.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. At this stage, I think he knows the kid knows I'm not going anywhere. In that kind of way. Like, even if he was angry with me, I'd stick it out. You know, yes, I would probably buy him some kind of Armani jumpsuit, but I would, and matching crown, but I would, but I'd be able to kind of go, okay, at some point he's going to forgive me. I just need to keep reaffirming that, you know, I'm sorry that happened and I didn't mean to let that happen on my watch. But oh my God, it is, it's the, and also I think as well, because going back to my childhood, I had pets given away on the fucking reg, right?
What?
This is no joke, right? All of my pets were given away. I have a very traumatic memory of my Jack Russell Patch being given away, Philippa. I'm getting angry. This is what it is. Yeah. It's all repressed trauma. Given away while I was sitting in the back of my mother's Ford Fiesta. She walked the fucking dog up to this man's door, knocked the door. The man took the dog and I was sitting there watching the whole thing happen.
What?
I mean, I could use several words to describe both of those people in that scenario, and they're both pricks. That's what they are.
You narrowed it down to prick.
And I so there was lots of that. There was lots of like, you know, I was able to have, I remember having a puppy for a few days and she made too much noise. I mean, this seems like it was like a lot of dog related stuff. But it's like I had a cat and I had the cat for years and then the cat died and nobody told me. And I had to kind of ask, when is the cat coming back from the vet? And then everyone was like, he's not coming back from the vet, he died. I remember just going, everyone in this house is a pile of shit.
You're all shits.
You're all shits. And so I think I have a lot of pet-related trauma that I carry with me. And I was like, no way, no how is this little boy going to have any pet-related trauma coming from me.
Well, that is now, in fairness, that is quite noble of you, that you're going out of your way to ensure that this child doesn't have to endure a measure of the pain that you went through. Because pets are, I'm not, in all seriousness now, pets are very important to children. Because,
oh my God, yeah.
Oh, do you have life? I've loved pets more than humans.
Every pet I've ever lost has just been a good guy or gal.
Oh, they're the best.
Personality for days. A cat.
I had a
cat that would have you laughing.
Oh, I had the best cat ever. And I was, stop. I think I found him when I was about 11 or 10.
You find the best ones, don't you?
Yeah, they're the ones that are like, you're meant to have that pet. I was out for a walk and I grew up in the countryside and I was on this very back country road.
Right.
And I heard this little meowing and I went into I followed it basically and I stuck my head into a little thorn bush and he was in there meowing.
Oh.
And I brought him home and he was my guy.
Oh.
He was my guy and he's one of the, he was, I don't want to say he's the best cat I ever owned because I don't want my current cat to hear that.
Yeah.
But he was incredible. He was so intelligent. I could give examples for days now, but he was very special. Very special.
Yeah. I had two very beautiful cats in my life and I to this day, sometimes I have dreams about them.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's how much I miss them. And so that's exactly it, Phil. I just don't want to do to him what was done to me pet wise.
Well, that's very honourable. Don't feel bad about that.
I think if all was said and done, and I will wrap it up now, but I'll leave everybody on this note. I have absolutely no problem in that situation kind of going the pet cemetery route.
Oh, Jesus.
I would bury him in the ground and then see him come back to life. And even if he was an evil hamster.
No.
Even if he was an evil hamster, I would be like, listen, just don't open that cage. You'll all be fine. I didn't do anything wrong. You go and, you know... You go and live your best life.
It's an abomination, that. Abomination. I remember watching the film of that.
The new version or the old version?
The old version. And it was the evil baby. Oh, and he had a knife. And he was cutting someone on the leg or something. Oh, it was terrible. Now look, at the less we say about that, the better.
The less we talk about babies cutting legs, the better. But anyway, Phil, that was my worry of the week.
And you've deconstructed it beautifully there to see... You've understood what's the actual fear at the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Which is,
traumas.
Yeah. I don't want somebody else to experience the pain and upset that I had to endure when I was that age. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I don't know about you, but now I'm going through a slideshow in my mind of all the great pets I've ever owned.
Oh, stop. If I talk about that cat too much, I will cry.
Okay. Well, I get it because, as I say, I still dream about mine.
You'll subscribe to our podcast.
You know, it's all about how to get the most out of your partner.
And we're partners.
So we know all about it.
It's good. Get it wherever you want to get it, when you go and get it from your podcast, please. Richard and Greta.
You know?
You know?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My warrior of the week, or lack of. I was very surprised that this did not worry me, right?
Oh my God, I loved it. We're flipping it upside down.
Oh, look it. We're doing a 180/360. I don't know the difference between the two, but what's the one that's the opposite of the where you're turning
180.
Around?
Because 180. Because 360, you've come back round again.
Okay, well, 180 then. So, Saturday morning, still in the pyjamas, as you
of
would
course.
Be. Why not? It's fucking Saturday. I'm standing at my front window there. And you know, yes, I live on a close.
Right? You do live in a close.
Which I think now, I'm 39 and I think I know what a close means. It means it's like a ring, an enclosed ring.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically, in a nutshell, there's houses that end up, my house faces onto other houses.
Yeah.
So my front window faces onto other front windows, right? So I'm standing there at the front window for the whole close to see. I'm in my pyjamas. And I noticed a brown spot on the front of my pyjamas. And my first thought was, oh no.
Oh Lord.
It's either a Cornetto.
Or?
It's cat poo, right? Because my cat's, obviously my cat's very clean because cats are clean.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple of occasions where there's been
a little dot
smears.
Of poo.
Yeah. And I don't know how it happens because when it happens, I chase her down and I go, where is it? Where is it on you? And I can't find it. The source of this. Obviously because she's left it on me or she's left it on something.
Right.
But I just, it baffles me. I'm just like, anyway. So I look down on the pajama top and I see this brown smear and I go, oh God, is that cat poo? So I lift up the t-shirt of my pajamas to smell it.
Yes.
Not remembering that this is my pajama top and I've got nothing on underneath. So I basically, I think, I don't know how far the flashing went.
Right.
But I basically lifted up my top while standing at my front window, whilst living on a close, whilst facing onto other front
windows.
Were
the people out in the road?
No, I did a quick scan and I went, oh, who might have seen that? Now, back in the day, I would have let that really bother me. I would have been like shitballs. Shitballs.
A man, somebody could have been behind their curtain at the other side of the street looking out and they've just caught the flash of it. Of
I
them.
Know, where it would end up in my head would be, I would be expecting the cops to show up on my doorstep and go, we've heard of a flashing incident.
Are you looking for attention? Is this what it is?
Is this what it is?
That happened to me though. I know that's a very weird thing I was in a yoga class.
Yeah, you're the first person I thought of. I was like, hang on a second. I know who this also happened to. And I don't know, it's maybe because you told me your story that I felt kind of like, ah, look, it happens. Get over yourself.
I do think it does happen. I mean, because the thing is, I don't think... You know when someone's doing the flash for real and you know when someone has absent-mindedly just got a tit out. And I think...
Yeah, and they've no notion that they're doing it.
Exactly. I was trying to mop my forehead because I was at a hot yoga class and I pulled up my top forgetting that I wasn't wearing a bra. And I always wear a bra. I mean, apart from like when I go to bed, I always wear a bra. So... The fact that I took it off the yoga class and then pulled it up and basically flashed everybody because there was a mirror at the top of the room.
Yeah.
I have nothing but understanding for you in this particular situation, Phil. And I just think, if anything, some, if anyone saw that, they should have just enjoyed what they saw.
Yeah.
Is that bad for me to say, though? Because if a man did that, if a man flashed and someone saw, would because I'm sure that if someone was a professional flasher type, they might think, well, enjoy it.
Well, I think you said it there, which is what's the intention behind it? And exactly. If it's just you not having a notion that you're doing it,
yeah,
what's the harm?
I think you'd know just by the look of someone, like just by the action of the t-shirt coming up. And I'm also, very proud of you, though, to just be like, listen, yeah, it happened.
It happens. It happens, okay?
And just for the whole like solving of the riddle, was it poop or was it Cornetto?
Oh, I did get a smell of it and it smelled fine. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was, I don't know, coffee grounds or something. Chocolate, yeah.
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 I always have food all over me. Like, Jesus Christ.
But I was just awful impressed with myself that I didn't lose my shit over it. That is, because historically really I would have. Yeah.
Do you think, do you notice, can I ask you, Philippa? Do you notice in the last few years, I'd say, marked improvement in your worrying / anxiety?
Fits and starts now.
Fits and starts, okay.
Fits and starts. At the moment, and I used to notice this about myself in school. Transition year, I didn't give a flying fuck.
Wow.
But there was other years, like, so say...
Well, to break transition year down for people who are not familiar, this was a year between... your what we had our junior cert, which is now is it called something different? I don't know, but it would be like your what do they call it in England here?
GCSEs,
and then there was this year that they put in after your GCSEs called transition year, which was an extra year, but it was kind of like to give you some time off, wasn't it, so that you weren't going right back into studying again for your leaving cert or your O levels, A levels,
yeah.
So it was like a crack. It was kind of like a year of cracking good times.
Yeah, you went on a school tour abroad. You did a musical production on stage. You did some work experience. You know, you phoned it in for a year, basically.
Did, just to, again, let's see the situation that you found yourself in. Because I didn't want to do transition year because then it would mean I would be then a fifth year with the year that was behind me. So I wanted to stay with all my friends. Do you know that kind of way? Just a couple of questions. Was it this musical now that then ignited your passion for what then became your career? And
no, the passion was already there. I'll cut across you there unabashedly. The passion was already there. The passion was there since 4 years of age.
Oh my God, it was ignited at four. Do you remember what was the moment? I mean, was it being a backing singer for U2, or was it more, or was it a particular TV show that you watched? Or
I just wanted to be in the programs.
Yeah, was right. I remember there was a very old version of the Famous Five that used to be on. And at least whenever there's a mystery to be found.
There's a mystery to be found. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah.
It was a very good theme tune, right? The beginning of the show, the Famous Five are walking towards you, right? And then at the end of every episode, the Famous Five would walk away and you would see them go off into the distance. And I would cry every single time because I wanted to go with them. And my mother would say to me, we'll turn that off now. We'll turn that off if you can't cope with them leaving. And it was because I wanted to be in the show that badly.
Yeah.
Because get rid of the dog. What did you say?
Well, they should have been a real child instead of the dog.
Well, yeah, Timmy, like he was with George, wasn't it? Like they weren't a couple, but that was her dog. And I liked the dynamic.
OK, and it does sound like we've just had a big old. Love fest over pets.
I think it was. And I was sounds drawn. Like I'm,
sounds like I'm contradicting myself by going, Ara, get rid of Timmy the dog, but.
No, because I think there was a space for a child that was being taken up by an animal. And I think in this day and age, it would be absolutely perfectly fine to replace Timmy with an actual person.
What I'm saying is make room for Yaz. That's all I'm saying.
Actually, in the reboot then, years they did later, one of my friends played George. One of my now friends played George. And I was nothing but jealous of her.
Oh, goodness me.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's a great part to get, George.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the same theme tune. But sorry, we're getting away from this transition year thing. What was your work experience?
I worked in a chemist. Well, Price and Cosmetics. Well, with a price gun. Do you remember them?
Yeah. That's not... Listen, it's your choice, Phil. But I thought work experience was like you went and you worked for a doctor, or you went... Like you did something like a career... Like not that not working in a chemist... Or not that working in a chemist is not a career. But I thought you got like into like the more vocational type things.
I don't think that much thought slash effort went into the work experience.
Did you have to sort that out yourself, or did the school sort it out?
Oh, you sorted it out yourself. Hence the effort level being quite low.
Did the school pay your wages, or did you get no wages, or was it like an internship?
Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
So basically that was, you just walked into a place and you said, do you want me to come here and work for free?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, you're 15 or 16.
Yeah.
You've got a gung-ho 16. Attitude.
I wasn't even that gung-ho. It's kind of just like sauntering in going, I'm here, I suppose, for the next 2 weeks.
Did you have any particular high points of the chemist retail experience?
Yeah, pricing with cosmetics with the price gun. It was me and another girl, and we used to kind of fight over the pricing because, like, everyone wanted to have a go at that, didn't they?
I mean, even now, that's my favourite part of going shopping, is to do the self-scanner.
Yeah.
Why would you go and queue at the machine, at the belts with the woman doing your shopping for you when you have the joy of doing the barcodes and the thing yourself?
Yeah, and also with that, you can pack your groceries as you're shopping.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't have to do it. Basically, you just do it all in one go, is what I'm trying to say.
Also, I'm noticing a trend here of younger Phil in transition. You're feeling very confident and probably wouldn't be in this kind. So isn't that weird? Because I think I definitely had a stage of my life where I was about 20, where I was Miss Confident USA.
Oh, yeah.
I just was a bag of confidence, and it just all trickled out my armpits and down my legs. And I really don't know. Well, look. Philip, I do know what happened. I moved to London, right?
Okay.
I was out in the wilderness of London town. Not a fucking soul did I know. And I went to drama school, and I was around people who were actors, and being around any kind of actor, young or old, is not a pleasant experience most of the time. But I was just, I think I was really out of my comfort zone. I was taken away from everybody that I knew voluntarily. And I think it had a real profound effect on who I was and how I saw myself, because I was so full of confidence back home, and so like just knew, felt like I liked myself. And I think coming here, something really changed, and I just became very, very frightened. I think because I didn't really anticipate or understand how big London was, and I thought of it on the same scale as Dublin. And just that like ease of getting around, and that kind of like, you know, being in Dublin, you'd walk down the street, you'd bump into people that you know, no problem.
Absolutely.
That wouldn't happen here, obviously. I had no idea the layout of the city and just how sprawling it is. I just didn't get it. And so I remember like moving here, and we'd go out, and I'd realize I would be up in Camden, but I'd be living down south, and I'd say to myself, I have to take like two hours to get home, because I can't afford a cab, because cabs were so expensive back then. And so it just would take all the fun out of things, because I wouldn't want to spend 2 hours getting home. So I'd leave a party at like 10, as opposed to back in Dublin, where I wouldn't be leaving that party till 2 a.m. because I'd be having the time of my life, and it was €8 and a taxi home.
Yeah. Or as I used to do, it was walk home. In Dublin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, the confidence of youth.
Oh, my God. I mean, I lived in quite a shady neighbourhood, and, well, you had to walk through quite a shady neighbourhood to get home to where I lived in Dublin. But I lived about it must have been a 20-minute walk to Dublin city centre. That's how, it spoiled me. It ruined me for other cities.
You can walk Dublin.
Oh, my God,
so easily. Sorry, why am I yawning?
just because I'm boring you, no. Or I'm making you emotional with tales of the motherland.
Oh,
it's an emotional yawn.
Oh, it's emotional yawn.
But yeah, I think like losing all of that confidence now, all of these years later, I think I'm back to feeling that same level of confidence, although with a smattering of anxiety, which I don't think will ever really leave me. But it's something left me.
Yes. Yes. And it is shit that the way that when anxiety comes into your life, it never really goes.
No.
Because you asked me there, like, that you asked me, have you found yourself worrying more or less over the years?
Mm.
And I just think I have good years and I have bad years. But it is that thing of knowing that, like, oh, I've started worrying now, I'll never stop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because I remember when I started worrying, and I think it was in Leaving Cert.
Right.
Because it was the leaving cert was anxiety inducing.
Right.
And I never stopped since. I've always worried since.
Really?
That's no, sorry, that's a lie. I was an anxious child. But like really worrying then started in Leaving Cert. And
so you're like 16, 17? 17. Right.
I don't know. No, maybe what it was I was always a worrier, even since I was a child. But I think I started to worry about more long-term, real-world stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, adult-y stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm not making any sense.
No, I know. It was an evolution of worry from a child's worry, which is small scale, obviously. Yeah. I mean, we can't be saying that of all children. Some children, I think, have very real worries because they're in very bad situations.
Yeah.
But I think it is, it's like, I was a very anxious child too. But I think there was somewhere around like 18 or 19 where I suddenly became super confident about myself and just kind of believing that I'm just going to go and do the things that I want to do because I believe that there's a, you know, why not? And then I just feel like that was kind of, had the wind knocked out of me a little bit. And I think as well, I don't know if you had this, but again, because I had a victim mentality, I was very attracted to toxic people because I overgave and I would never, again, I would give and give and give and give to people to try and get something in return. And that obviously isn't the way to do it. But that is very attractive to people who want to take and take and take and take. And because you're never going to be confrontational enough to say, I notice that you keep taking and that's not really working out for me. I'm going to go somewhere else. My self-concept and my way of being in the world, even though I was confident, again, it was never really dealing with things head on. I had a tendency to be a victim. I had a tendency to blame other people for my situation. And so therefore, I became very attractive to people who could see that in me, where I would just give and give and give and give and give. They would take and take and take and take. And I would never at any point stop and put my boundaries up because, again, I was getting something out of being a victim and I was getting something out of being in these toxic friendships or toxic relationships where I could go and say to other people, oh, look how badly this person treats me. And they'd say, it's so bad. You're such a lovely person. So I got into that pattern. Whereas only in the last year or so, I've learned how to go, no, this is my boundary. And if you cross it, I'm like the shutters are going to come down now because I have tried to get my self-esteem and my self-worth through other people. Like I've tried to see myself through other people's eyes rather than saying, well, how do I see myself in my own eyes? How do I learn how to accept myself rather than, you know, abandoning myself to please somebody that isn't doing the same back to me? And I think it's like, again, it's only now after all these years, I'm realizing that it doesn't work when you're trying to. And it builds up your anxiety. It builds up your sense of not being good enough because everything is outside of you. Everything is about how you're perceived by a group of other people or by, you know, a specific individual person. And I don't know. Again, I feel like I'm happy to have learned it, even though it took me a long time to learn it. just that sense of going, I get to choose how I feel about myself. And if you don't like me, or if it feels like a burden to be around me, why don't you fuck off and I'll just stay here with me, because I like me.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. For fucking nothing.
Yeah. Like, I've been watching a few things about like cults and gurus lately. And, you know, you see how people are so addicted to that acceptance of a cult. And like what you were saying, how the cult tells them who they are instead of them knowing themselves who they are. Mm. And I was just kind of watching it going, Jesus, can we just not all be our own guru? Be your own guru. Don't be looking for someone to tell you who you are. Tell, you know, listen to yourself. Because
it's tough. I do think... I do think it takes a situation to happen to make you realize that being in that kind of people pleasing role is just not, it's never going to benefit you, and it doesn't really benefit the people around you, because when it was explained to me that I am trying to get people, I'm trying to manipulate people by giving to them. Because the thing is, I'm not really giving to them because I want to give to them. I'm giving to them so that they'll give to me. Whereas if I cut out the middleman and give to myself, then it's not really important whether they give to me or not, because I can take care of my own needs. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I really... And there's another thing as well, where when you start to change and you start to shift in that way and show up differently in friendships and stuff, you can see how people can push back against that and be like, oh no, I don't want you to be different. I want you to stay the way that you always were. Mm. And you just go, nah, because I'm getting nothing out of it.
Yeah, because you've established a certain dynamic, and to break out of that is switching it up, but maybe a bit too much.
Yeah. I swear by it now. I hope, I don't want to stop the podcast because I love doing it, but there's something about it where I feel like taking care of those issues means that I feel a lot more, I feel a lot, a sense of my self-esteem and my self-worth coming back to me, because I've just claimed it.
Excellent. Very good.
And also, this is another, it's a lovely little thing to do. If anyone's like working on their self-love, their self-compassion, I started doing this week and it's beautiful, Phil. So somebody was saying to me, you know when you fall in love with somebody and it's like, oh, I love the way she looks up when she's explaining something to you, or I love the way he like moves his hands when he's excited or whatever. It's all these like little things that when you're falling in love with somebody, these really tiny little things that they do, like the details about them, like they're just, and it's so individually and uniquely that person. And I was saying to one of my friends, you know, I love things about my friends that I never say to them, because it's that detailed, unique, lovely thing. Like, I love the way that you mispronounce words on purpose, like Arles and Kovis.
Kovis.
Because it makes me laugh. But I would never say that to you until I've just said it now, because it's like I just kind of go, oh, well, she knows I like that about her. But if we were dating, then it would be something I would probably say to you. Do you know what I mean? It's like those things. So I've been saying to my friends, oh, I really love this about you. And it's a very specific you thing that only you will ever do. And it will never happen and it never belong to anybody else, because you're so unique and there'll never be another one of you again. And it's a really beautiful thing, because I think sometimes we forget that there's only ever going to be one of us ever in the whole history of the world. And when you kind of try to look at yourself in a self-love way that's very broad strokes, like, oh, I'm good at cooking and I'm a kind person, it takes someone going, no, but you do this weird thing and it's so weird and I fucking love it because it's you and I'll never experience that in another person again. So anyway, that's my little tip for self-love for the week, if anybody wants to give it a go.
Very good. So that you say to yourself, I like...
You can say to your friends, and you can say to your friends, and what do I do that you like? Because you just, because some of my friends have said things to me and I'm like, I never knew I did that. That is really funny. That's great. And that's very uniquely me.
Yes. Cool.
Nice. Well, look, we'll leave it at that then, on the high note of self-love.
Yes, spread it around.
Spread it around like a dirty rumour.
Do that, yeah.
Again, if you want to write in to us and tell us your worries, we are at weheartworry@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Please let us know any worries or any self-care tips. Anything. Anything.
Yeah. It's a safe space. If you enjoy this podcast.
Yes.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
Pass the word around.
Draw a picture, hang it up at the supermarket, say, yeah. please watch this. Please watch this podcast.
And give us a rating or a review.
Amazing.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
We'd much appreciate that. Listen, all right. We'll talk to you very soon, guys, all right?
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening and have a lovely week and take care and stay safe and God bless.
Kezia McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.